Yes, we have a new opening theme to How Better Davis Saved My Life, Life Lessons from Classic Hollywood. I'm Moya.
And I'm Georgia.
And Georgia, what did you think? Because Georgia didn't see it, so it was a surprise. You know, it was hard for me to keep this as a secret. She knew I was changing it, but she didn't know what it was going to look like. So Georgia, I hope you like it, because I don't want to change it again.
I love it.
All right. Woo! I am so glad. I was like, well, she gotta like this, because she gonna have to make the next one herself, because I'm not doing
it. Don't go changing. I love it.
Don't go changing. I love it. I am so happy. So that footage actually came from this movie. You can see from the 70s. Introducing Miss Melody Jones. Shout out to Real Black. I will leave the link in the description to Real Black Cinema. The Real Black page on YouTube, obviously, and it's in its name. They have a lot of known and obscure Black films, documentaries, and everything like that. Just a really good channel. So go over there. They don't need me to push them. They have like over 2 million subscribers, so they don't need my help. But if you want to see the full movie, go over there and check that out. I'm going to keep my opinions to myself. Let me just say, we will not be reviewing that movie on How Betty Davis Saved My Life, and I'm gonna leave it like that. But again, you go to Real Black Cinema or Real Black and check out Real Black One, I think, is as well. But I'll leave the description in the link in the description box for our YouTube channel. But thank you everyone for tuning in. Yes, we have a different time today. Life comes in, you got to do what you got to do. So we had to change our times, but thank you for hanging in there with us. And so hopefully next week we'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming. And so Georgia, are we ready for this? What are we doing today?
We're doing The Godfather.
No, and I wasn't even thinking, like, I should have had some music, some Italian music or something like that in the back. But Georgia, I don't believe it, because I can't sell. But she says she has a gangster hat on. And I don't know why I didn't think about that. But she can't get her camera to work. But, you know, we usually use our avatars anyway. So I still say, Georgia, you got to try to get the camera right before you and I get off of here, because I have to see you in the gangster hat. So she inspired me to go put my gangster hat on right now. So that's why I have this on. I was trying to put a mustache on my Bitmoji, but I don't know how to do that. I couldn't find it in time. But anyway, so Georgia, I do have the trailer for The Godfather. I don't know if you want to look at that or you want to talk about it first. Whatever you want to do, take it away.
I've never seen the trailer, I think, to The Godfather. So if you like, we can go ahead and start with that if you're ready. If not, well, I'll just kind of talk about it.
Well, yeah, we can take a look at that. So just give you a little introduction to The Godfather. So this is courtesy of IMDb, and I hope the sound works. Let's see. And there we go.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
It's not personal, it's strictly business.
So obviously there was a recent reshowing of this and restoration. So if you couldn't tell, This is so iconic, and y'all saw it in a previous video when I was at the antique store and around town looking for movie memorabilia. This is iconic. Of course, this is the late great Marlon Brando. Oh gosh, I'm sorry, I'm not sharing my screen anymore. Let me share my screen again. Sorry about that. But yeah, so let me just show that again. Yeah, that's what I was saying. This is iconic. These graphics. Before this, like, people use these graphics and this type of thing for all kinds of stuff now. It doesn't even have to do it. You can use it for painting a house. I mean, no, you know, it's just that iconic. And of course, this is the late great Marlon Brando. And I'm pretty sure Georgia has some tea on him, and because this is in the 70s. Marlon Brando was huge in like the 50s and the 60s. And he kind of was winding down, and he had like a resurgence after this, especially in like the 80s, and then kind of dipped again in the 90s. But I'm pretty sure George will talk about that. But you can see directed by Francis Ford Coppola, and screenplay by Mario Puzo. This is based on his book, The Godfather. And that, I don't even know if that, because you had gangster films in the past, but no, this, the word Godfather now, that's iconic. That's in a lexicon now. So nobody probably even thought about Godfather, you know, before this came out. Of course, Marlon Brando, we saw a very young Al Pacino. Can't really say James Caan that much, but I mean, it's just a host of stars. So Georgia, go ahead and just hip, you know, now Georgia, you saw the Godfather. You want a Godfather virgin, were you?
I am.
Okay, I couldn't remember. I thought you were. So Georgia, maybe the five other people in the whole universe has not seen The Godfather. So Georgia, go ahead and start whatever you want to talk about, and I'll pull up some pictures.
Sure thing. Yeah. Well, this movie is, I can understand how a lot of people think this is one of the best movies ever made, if not the best. I understand. I get it. You know, it's very epic in scope, and it has the authenticity because it was made by Italians. It is very gritty. It's profound. It's got this depth and breadth to it. And when it was made, it was really way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the scenes people just talked about, and they just could not get over it. I mean, and there are some tropes in this movie that everybody knows about. So yeah, it was way ahead of its time. I'm going to talk a little bit about the actual plot itself. It takes place at the end of World War II, from about 1945 to 1955. And you have Vito Corleone, played by Marlon Brando. He's head of a large crime family. And in the first Godfather, they don't say the word mafia or Cosa Nostra, but that's exactly what it is. It's mafia. And so two of his sons, Sonny, played by James Caan, and Fredo, John Cazale, are in the business. And the third son, Michael, Al Pacino, has just come back from the war. And he's a decorated war hero, served in the Marines. And you get the feeling that Michael is very special. They have very high hopes for him, maybe to go on into politics.
So I just want to point out, George, I'm sorry. So this is Sonny, and this is Fredo, okay? And this is Cazale, and this is Caan. And well, you'll get to him later, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you have, the whole family and their friends, as you can see there in the picture, they're gathered for daughter Connie, played by Talia Shire, for her wedding to Carlo. Okay. And one of the customs that they have is that, on the day of his daughter's wedding, he will grant, kind of like a fairy godfather, he will grant wishes. He sees himself as this very benevolent person, and he's going to,
as most devils do.
Yes. And so actually, as the movie unfolds, one of the other four mafia families has decided that they want to approach the Corleone family and go into the illegal narcotics business. And so they want Don Corleone's help. Don Corleone decides his family should stay out of the illegal drug business because it'll just draw too much heat. So what follows next is a war against the other crime families. And you're going to see they eliminate their competition and in order to gain power and control. And so you're going to see a progression and a shifting of roles in the Corleone family. And the way that I decided to watch this movie was I thought, you know, I've got to first understand the characters and see the differences in them. And then you can kind of understand how the movie is going to unfold. Once you get the characters down, then the rest really falls into place. And they're so well drawn. I mean, the way that they have such distinct personalities, and you see how there are such drawbacks. I mean, there's flaws in them, but still it doesn't hold them back from ascending to the very top. I mean, the very highest echelons of syndicated crime.
Yes. I mean, and that's a really good opening intro you did, by the way, Georgia. Well, go ahead. You're doing such a good job. I don't have anything to say. I'll just keep showing pictures.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, Don Corleone, as you can see there, he believes that family comes first. And, you know, I think it's just really amazing some things that I found in this movie, because at first I got a little bit aggravated about like how dark and shadowy the photography was. And then, you know, it's like you've heard the saying, dirty deeds done in the dark. And then also this is to point out how mysterious and very imperious this Godfather character is. So that's why you see a lot of darkness and shadow. Another thing that I wanted to point out was because the movie is so dark, the use of oranges in the movie. When you see an orange in the movie, watch what happens next, okay? If you've never seen, if you're one of the five people in our audience that have never seen
Georgia, Godfather. Wow, you're really telling me something. So oranges?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes, oranges figure very prominently. Yeah, and something happens. After you see an orange, something big happens.
I never even paid any attention to that. It is so crazy. Wow. Let's kind of seeing stuff. Let me share this. Oh, keep going.
Sure. Okay. So this is how I was able to kind of draw the characters. Okay. You have Sonny, who's played by, you know, James Caan, and he's, you know, aggressive and he's kind of hot tempered. And
it was like Woody Allen, huh? Putting on makeup. I know it's not, but he really looks like
Woody. He does look like Woody Allen, doesn't he? And look how different Marlon Brando looks there as opposed to the way they do his makeup.
How old was he here? About how old is he?
I'd say in his 40s, Moya.
And this is what a really good makeup job. And I know you'll get to all this, how he transformed, because he was one of those method actors, you know, from back in the day.
And, you know, a lot of people thought at the time that he stuffed like either cotton balls or Kleenex tissues in his, you know, because when he did the audition for it, amazingly, he didn't think he was going to have to audition for him, but they made him audition and he got the look and he transformed himself. But actually it was because of a prosthetic that was made for him that he put in his mouth to alter the look of his face.
Mm-hmm.
And also skillfully applied makeup.
Right. And now he won the Academy Award for this one or the second one. I can't remember.
For this one.
This one. Okay. And that's when the controversy had the actress who played an American Indian had her come and accept the award and make a speech, right?
Sasheen Littlefeather.
Okay. But she was an actress. I don't think she was even a real Indian. It was weird. Let me just say it was weird.
Yeah, she wasn't a real Indian, it turned out.
It was weird. Anyway, girl, let me stay focused. Keep going. Goodness gracious. So the foolishness has not just started, guys, with all this virtual signaling, people misrepresenting themselves. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, this movie has such excellently drawn characters and the acting is just so spot on. I mean, I have to give them their due about that. It's just masterfully done, I have to say. I like the way they also were able to do the character of Fredo. That guy is an excellent actor, the late John Cazale.
Yes, yes. Let me
say he died when he's only 42. But yeah. You know, you can see how the family, he's he's seen by his family as somewhat weaker and not as smart. He's kind of a goof, kind of a pushover.
Right.
So they send him off to Las Vegas and they just kind of have him do like little errand kind of things. Mm-hmm. And then you have, of course, Michael. And Michael is very different in the way that he is very unruffled. He's intelligent, but he's very cold and he's very cunning.
This is Fredo, guys.
This is Fredo. Yes. This is such an excellent acting job by this guy.
And this is Meryl Streep's, they were going together. They were intended and she was in love with him and he died so young like that. And this guy, they say he only did like 3 or 4 movies, but every movie was like a killer movie, which is just, that's a trip.
Now, see, Moy, I didn't know that. Wow.
Mm. What, anything I just said about the, like, which part?
About him and Meryl Streep.
Oh, yeah. She was the love of her life. And she was, when he died, she was devastated. And it took her a while. And the guy who she eventually married, and now they're getting divorced, and they already gotten divorced after being married a umpteen years. What sense does that make? But that's none of my business. But yeah, he died in her arms, basically. But yeah, they were madly in love. But go ahead, honey.
Oh, yeah. Well, and of course, then you have Michael, who is, like I was saying, he's just very intelligent. He's very cold and cunning. And he says he does not want to be a part of the family business. And then you also have, there's the adopted son. And he's kind of like their brother. His name is Tom Hagen. He's played by Robert Duvall. And he's very level-headed, very thoughtful, and he's the consigliere, which is their legal counsel. He's an attorney.
As Michael Corleone, as we say, Pacino.
And, of course, he went on to do the newer version of Scarface.
Yes, and we did the older one, but we might do the new one. I don't know. The recent one. What a one by Pacino. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people think that this was really more Al Pacino's movie. And Al Pacino at the time was upset that he didn't get nominated for Best Actor because he had more screen time, actually, even than Marlon Brando did.
He was right. Thank you. I found that very strange. And maybe because I'm not going to say they gave Brando, because Brando had already won an Oscar. I'm not going to say they gave him like a consolation Oscar because he was great. He all eyes on him when he was on the screen, but it was more of Pacino's movie. So that was strange.
Oh yeah. I thought that was odd too. I mean, not that I don't want to take anything away from Marlon Brando because he did an excellent job.
Right. Here's Sonny and here's Michael. I'm trying to find an adopted, quote unquote, adopted son, the consigliere. And that's another word. No one say consigliere until this came out. But yeah, so many words got put in our lexicon by this movie. Let me see if I can find. Go ahead. I'm looking for Sonny.
While you're doing that, I'm just gonna keep on talking. But you know, the thing about this movie that had not been done before is that you enter their world, you go right into it, and you see all their secrets and all the dark dealings that they do. And you see their world from their point of view and their perspective. Mm-hmm. And at the core, they are undeniably evil.
Yeah.
Not evil, but evil.
Yeah. Yes, it's a difference.
And, you know, it's kind of strange because the movie kind of manipulates you into taking the side of the Corleones. Yeah. Because, you know, they are rivals with these other mob families. But yet, because you are in their world, you see it from their point of view and you find yourself, you're on their side, which is like, oh my gosh, what kind of movie sorcery is this? I'm going, how did they do this?
Right.
But I'm watching, I'm going, oh my gosh.
Right. I totally agree with you. I don't know and I don't want to give away too much to anybody, the other four people in the world who haven't seen this. But some of the gruesomeness, it's also iconic. People make jokes out some of the gruesomeness of this movie. And like I said, yeah, it had gangster pictures before, but this was just groundbreaking. Like, what? You know? I'm not gonna say a scene, but it involves a horse, and I'll just leave it like that.
Oh Lord.
If you like horses, if you a horse person, a horse freak, then don't look at this movie or don't look at that scene. That's all I can tell you.
Oh, I know. Oh yeah. let me tell you something about in rehearsal they used like a fake, a prosthetic thing. And so when they actually did the filming and they used like the real thing, that guy screaming, that was his real reaction. He could,
what?
Yes.
Oh, that poor man.
Oh, yes.
Well, they shout out to Ford Coppola. He did that. Girl, that poor man. It's lucky, and that was an old dude too. They were lucky he didn't get a heart attack.
Yeah. Well, the good thing to know is that, you know, when they have these like dog food factories where they take like, the old horses that they use. This was like a horse from a slaughterhouse, you know, that there was like already like.
Do they still do that?
Yeah.
So like dog food is still horse meat?
Well, it was when this movie was made. It was. I don't know if they're doing it in present day, but they did then.
I always wondered that.
Yeah.
Is that, do they still do that now? And glue. I don't think they use. Now, was that true? Like they used to say they made glue out of horses. Was that true?
The hooves.
Glue.
Well, they. I don't know if they still do it, but they did way back when. They did.
So that was true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's really kind of. I was in. Aghast about the way that they did the women in this movie, because I mean most of the time they were okay, they would bring them out when there was a wedding or a christening or a dance, and a lot of the time they were just like, you know, standing around holding the baby or something.
Mm-hmm.
I know that women had very limited roles in the 40s and 50s, but I mean, were the men just ignoring them or were they just putting them on a pedestal? I was trying to figure out what's going on here with the women in this movie. Because you can see they're very insulated. They seem to be kind of ignorant about what's going on with the family.
Yeah.
They don't seem to understand like all the nuances about what's going on in their surroundings. And that was really something that I had a hard time trying to figure out. I mean, they were just, you know, like this is all just total, just masculine, a man's world, you know, and women just were like, you look pretty or you get married or you have babies, but that was their whole being right there.
Well, now was that a part of you of make me like it, like, or turned you off or no?
Yeah, it kind of did. That was part of my, yeah, like make me like it. Cause to be perfectly honest, do I find this movie one of the greatest ever made? No, I do not. I know I'm bucking the majority. I know that I am. And that was one of the problems I had with it, because the women didn't seem to be intelligent beings at all in this movie.
You know, not even her. Like, so these two eventually get married and talk about that. But you don't think, so you didn't think much of her. I don't want to put any words in. You didn't think much of her character?
No, I didn't, to be perfectly honest. No, I didn't.
Okay, now, do you think that was the production and how the women were placed in? Because I thought it was strategic, and I'll tell you why in a second. But do you think that was on purpose, the minimalization of women, or it just naturally flowed? Like, because a lot of these stories, movies that we do, I wish I would have read the book first. So I don't know how women were portrayed in the book, but you know, all we have is the movie. So do you think that was on purpose in your opinion, the minimalization of women, or you think it was just organic how it fell in the movie, women's place in the movie?
I think it was organic because it was the 40s and the 50s, and women did not have a role in the mob organization. And I think that Italian families at that time were very old school, very traditional.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was organic. That's what my thought was. But it was kind of difficult because I wanted somebody to wake up and say, this is awful. This is horrible.
But so let's fast forward, because then you have, this was the blueprint for future gangster or mafia movies, okay? And in history, there were very few lady gangsters. They might have been like gun moles or something like that. So you're right. So you're right. This was organic for them women not to have a huge role in this. But I still think, well, and I guess because like I'm thinking about The Sopranos. So you and I were talking about this when we decided to do this. Like there would be obviously no Sopranos without Godfather and whatever else that proceeded after Godfather. But even when I'm thinking about Camilla Soprano and what's her name? The other woman, Michael Imperioli's girlfriend. I can't remember her name. But anyway, the women in there, unless they were like outright gangsters, but it was a man's world because Camilla knew what Tony Soprano was doing. These women knew. I can't see how they did not know. You know what I mean? So let me ask you, you don't think it in real life or in the movies that women had no clue? Did you think they had no clue?
That's what I felt. They had absolutely no clue. They seemed like they were totally oblivious, didn't understand or know what was going on. And if they did, they acted like they just totally didn't care.
Well, that's what I think. Because like I'm thinking about Goodfellas, one of my favorite movies of all time, seen like a million times. And I don't know if I should suggest, have you seen Goodfellas?
No, and I'd love to see it.
Okay, well, I was about to say, should I even suggest that? Because, you know, you didn't like this one, but a woman is heavily featured, Lorraine Bracco's character in that movie. And it kind of goes to that point. I'm not going to give anything away about what women may have known. And I feel like this, Georgia, even though this was an evil people, but I'm going to give the men a little, some Kool-Aid points for that, for keeping their families separate. Cause you know, in gangster film, mafia films, they were like, you never touch a person's family, as opposed to not child. They come and kill everybody. The mama, sister, cat, dog, goldfish, they come shoot everybody up. But you never touch, you didn't fool with people's kids, you know? So now, you know, back then. So I kind of give them some Kool-Aid points, if you will, for that. But it was, you're right, it was a man's world. And I think, cool, you know? Now the women, if they know, you know, y'all living off of blood money. So how do you rectify that? But again, if they know, like you said, I can't see them not knowing something.
Yeah.
But like I said, Georgia, what you going to do about it? What are you going to do? You can't leave, you'll get killed. Or if you leave, you'll get cut off. You're not going to have anything. So what? And if you got kids, you can't leave your kids out in the cold, because you're not going to take the gangster's kids from them. That's not going to happen. So right. It is what it is.
Yeah.
That's another saying from the Godfathers and Never Go Against the Fan. This movie has so many sayings.
Well, one of the things about this movie is when there are a lot of people that are getting bumped off. And I found myself going, well, I really don't care about these people who've been killed. That's such a horrible confession for me to make. But since we're on the topic of why I didn't like it, I was going, now listen, this is coming from a person who was shattered when the dog Old Yeller dies. Oops, I just ruined the ending, didn't I?
yeah, you ruined it.
But, I mean, I cried buckets when that dog died. And here, like in The Godfather, all these people are getting killed, are all getting bumped off, and I'm going, eh. Because like, they're not relatable. They're all very cold, distant people, and they're such bad people. You go, another one's getting bumped off.
But I think that's the point. Like, you weren't supposed to care. I think, because see, you said it when we first started looking at it. You're in this world, they suck you in, you're at the table when they're making these deals, and you're invisible, obviously. So you are sucked in, and you're not supposed to care, because that is the cold-blooded way of these people. So I think mission accomplished. It, you know, do you understand what I'm saying? That's what I get out of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you what it did. It filled me with dread, because I knew there was going to be some kind of a vindictive murder or an execution about every 10 minutes. And I was filled with anxiety. I was sitting on the end of my seat in a bad way. And I was thinking, there was a guy, and he, you know, when they invite you for a car ride and there's somebody sitting in the back, like, don't, I was yelling at the screen. Like
don't get in.
Have you learned anything? Look behind you. Don't get in that car.
So, but you were, well, I can't tell you didn't like it. You were so invested in this movie. You were invested and not invested in it.
But Moy, I think that when a great movie for me can make you care about the villain, even so that their deaths are affecting to you. And yeah, a great movie, that's, you know, a great movie can make you feel for the villain. I looked at this and I'm going, oh, I don't care if they y'all get gunned down. I don't care.
That is hilarious. That is so freaking funny. Well, there's really not anything. Georgia, you did a really good job, because I really didn't have much to say, because I mean, like, you know, very few people have not seen The Godfather. I have part two of The Godfather, which also killed De Niro. So it's like a prequel. Robert De Niro, who was so young and good looking, he plays a young Vito, and I kind of like that one a little bit more. So Georgia, let me tell you, so I know you saw it. Georgia, you talking that stuff, because you went and looked at Godfather 2 talking about you ain't make me like it. Why did you go look at Godfather 2?
Because I wanted to see
here she goes
if I would like the second one better, because I heard a lot of people say it was really good, and some people thought it was even better. Mm-hmm. And Norman said, hey, you know, our friend Norman, hey Norman, shout out to you if you're listening to it. He even suggested, you know, you might want to watch Godfather 2 and let me know what y'all think of it. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was very interestingly done, but I thought, oh my gosh, there's even more of the same stuff in there.
Oh girl. I like that one a little better, just by a hair, only because I love to see backstory. So here's the trailer for that. I'm not gonna play it. But it's Vito as a young boy. He comes from the old country, as they say. So I love backstories and I love history, obviously. And so Coppola, again, he does this, him and Puzio, and Robert Duvall and Pacino, obviously they're in this one as well. And there's De Niro looking just gorgeous. Who knew he would transform into the stupid gargoyle that he is? Did I just say that? But anyway, go look at YouTube or read a book talking about La Cosa Nostra and the old country and the beginnings of the mafia and all this kind of, go look at it. We ain't getting to all that, but it is extremely interesting, because how Coppola, they intertwine actual historical events into these stories, especially part two and such. So go look at that, man. And so I'm gonna start wind it up, but Georgia, and well, part three, they had a part three like years later, with like in the 90s or something, and it stunk. It was horrible. I didn't even look at it because I knew it wasn't going to be any good. And I'm sorry for those who like it. Not many people. That's two of y'all maybe liked it. But go and study the history of the mafia and how the United States government and the Kennedys. And it is so interesting, the history that the United States government had with the mafia. And even though it's not like this anymore, like we're showing you, and like this is part two and part one, it never went away. And if you really look at the systems that the mafia put in, and some things and methods that are being used now by our government and by big corporation, the mafia never ever went away. And you see drive by, well, we know that still happens, but it's still interesting how they kind of took it off the front page and rejiggered it to look different. So that's why I love all that kind of stuff. But so Georgia, so you, part one or part two, it still didn't do it for you?
It didn't. I mean, I was still glued to the screen with part two. I felt it was fascinating, but I still felt that awful, emotionally unsatisfying feeling at the end of it. It made me feel hollow and I didn't like it. So that's why I had to give me and make me like it to these movies. But see, this is, see, I really used to enjoy gangster movies with Jimmy Cagney and Edward G. Robinson, even. And George Raft, I think, to me, he was the best mob villain by a country mile. I love George Raft. Absolutely. Such a big fan. But, you know, if you really like Moya, I like what you were saying, because this is actually supposed to be based upon the Gambino family.
Right.
And also, like, the singer that they show at the beginning of the movie, you know, that all the girls are crazy over, that's supposed to be based upon Frank Sinatra.
Okay, girl. So that we're getting into some tea right there, because you know what the rumors was. You know what the rumors were, rather. Yes.
Yeah. One of the things that Moya kind of surprised me was, you know, the Godfather was into gambling and alcohol and prostitution, but he goes, oh, no, drugs. That's where
where you draw the land at. Different levels of misery and hell. Thanks for that.
Yeah. But, you know, the one thing I think that's interesting about the Godfather is you don't really see the actual victims or people affected by the gambling or the
prostitution
and the alcohol and all that. The alcohol running. You don't really see it that in there. You just see the family. So you're not really, you know, you're insulated from all that.
Now, they do say something really racist for those of you who are triggered. They didn't trigger me because I was like, well, that explains that, you know. But they say something racist about what they call them, the colors, I believe. I can't remember what they say. They might have said something else. But anyway, what they want to do with the narcotics, whether narcotics should start being distributed. And I was like, well, okay. That explains a lot. And we fell for the old okey-doke. Like, people like the old okey-doke talking about Black people. And we know Black people ain't the only people that consume the drugs and stuff. But, you know, I don't want to get into all that because that's another rabbit hole. But what they said, what the person said about that when they were talking about if they was going to get into drugs and how to, you know, keep it out their neighborhoods, you know. It was facts, man. I mean, shoot. Like, now, did we have to go and, you know, start doing it and distribute? No. And like I said, I don't want to get into all that. But this is what happened. And like I said, what I was saying, the mob never went away. It got absorbed and co-opted into the government. It got absorbed and co-opted into corporate America, because Vegas is still here because corporate America, working in hand with the government, U.S. government, took it from the mob. Okay. And that's goals. Do your homework and research. But if you don't think the mafia and it might be, you ain't got to be blood ties, but just look at the music business and the film business. It's no different. It ain't got to be dope or vice, as they call it. Nothing has changed. It's just new people, new faces, same MO, and it's packaged differently. Okay. So, because George, that's too much money. Look, the mafia, they were evil, but I give it that machine. It was a very efficient machine, and you knew your place. Nobody was acting a fool and all that, but kind of when all that busted up, and then you brought in kind of like foreign control, and you know, you see where we are now. None of it's right. It's all evil. But do you kind of follow what I'm saying? It went haywire, if you will.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
So it's all wrong. It's all straight from hell. But, you know, there was organized. Why do you think it was called the organization? Because they was organized. And they knew how to control it and keep it how it was. And, of course, they warred against themselves and stuff. But there was a method to the madness, if you will. I just want to say this in Georgia. I'm going to, you know, let you have the last word. I want to share some great YouTube channels that if you don't want to see the movie or you're not into it, you know, that's fine. But I do want to share some great channels. This one is really good from mafia culture, and I hope I didn't butcher it up, but I'll leave a link in the description from their page from YouTube. 10 Lessons from Michael Corleone You Need to Know. And I just want to play a little bit of it because it's extremely interesting. And this is what I kind of say. Like, I look, Gus Fring, look, J.R. Ewing, like all these good. And I didn't look at Game of Thrones, but a lot of people talked about the wisdom of the dwarf or midget, whatever you call him now. They said he was really cunning and fast-witted and got himself. This is a sausage festival because, you know, they're showing a lot of men here. What do you think about that? Or do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm thinking I fall into this category where I'm going, okay, I can understand the, you know, from an artistic point of view. And yes, there's a lot in there that you, if you see it more than once, you're going to pick up. I mean, a lot to appreciate about it. It's very nuanced, but I can appreciate that about a movie and still not like it.
Yeah. Oh, I hear you.
Films, its themes, and the timeless tale of struggle for power and influence speak to something deeper than the standard crime drama. And who better to learn from than Michael Corleone himself? He's an incredibly flawed character, and yet those are the exact types of people we can learn the most from. And to be
with Sigma, and I do think, looking at stories like The Godfather and other like Game of Thrones, everybody went on about that. And like I said, the Gus Frings and Better Call Walt and all this from Breaking Bad, you can learn a lot about how to handle yourself, in my opinion, in this world. And how to not keep your cards close to your vest, I think. If male or female, Michael Corleone was a poker player. He played 3D chess and poker at the same time, kept his cards close to his vest. So I'm going to give him that one. That's all I got. What else you have for us, my dear? And I'm going to give you the last word.
Well, Moya, it was a fun ride today doing this movie. And although I don't see it up there with Gone with the Wind or Casablanca, I still think that it's a very richly textured movie, and I am still very glad that I finally did get to see it. I'm not a Godfather virgin anymore.
Well, please don't go look at the third one, because you'll be like, oh no, they, even though you don't like it, but oh, they ruined it. Well, what is our next movie, ma'am?
When Harry Met Sally.
Absolutely. So we go, once again, you know, we go to extremes because we try to show everything and just run the gamut of movies for you guys. So we will be doing that one on the 25th. And so it stars Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal, Rob Reiner. We know, and I hate to keep calling the man Meathead. He even though, well, let me stick to what we're talking about. But anyway, and the great Nora Ephron, who has passed, just one of the unsung, to me, screenwriters of all time, rom-coms, as they say, romantic comedies. But anyway, I've never seen this. Now, have you seen this one?
Oh, yeah. I saw it when it first came out.
Gosh. Okay, so we flipping the roles. I am now the virgin, the film virgin. And so am I going to enjoy it? Or is it going to make me like it? You know my personality. What do you think is going to happen?
I think that it raises a very interesting question that we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, there's a big question in the movie, and we're all and we'll dive deep into that one.
Okay. Now I'm intrigued. So guys, we will see you on the 25th. You know, we on our Facebook page, we have our whole, not all of it, but we have just most of our movies listed out. So save the dates for those movies, but we will see you back here on Facebook live 1 p.m. Central Standard Time on the 25th. That is a Saturday. So Georgia, I am out of here, girl. What about you?
Me too. It's a wrap for me.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We're looking forward to being with you again. And just, you know, we do this all for you. So for How Better David Saved My Life, Life Lessons from Classic Hollywood, I'm Moya.
And I'm Georgia.
We'll see you guys next time. Thank you.